Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Those Who Trust in the Lord Really Won't Be Disappointed. I'm talking to you today about Psalm 25:3. Those who trust in the Lord shall not be disappointed. I never can remember the translation that says it that way, but here are two more. The King James Version says, Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed that transgress without cause. And the New American Standard says, Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without a cause will be ashamed. Now, y'all, I know my voice is a little off today. I've been extremely ill today. This is Thursday, and I didn't want the podcast to be late. So I was going to make a video, but I look pretty scary, so I didn't want to do that to y'all. So I'll just do the best I can with it. Y'all bear with me. Years ago, I came across a book by Peggy Joyce Ruth called Those Who Trust in the Lord Shall Not Be Disappointed. It's a tiny book, and I read it. I think I've read it three times or maybe four times. I've bought it more than once. I've given away copies. It is an exceptionally good book, and she talks about this scripture. This is the first time I heard it was when I read her book, and I was in that terrible wilderness of 2009 in 2010 during the Great Recession when I was out of work and almost became homeless. A time when, and many of you will remember this, a time when if you did become homeless, there wasn't even room at the homeless shelters. I mean, it was that bad. And the book is about how, you know, it looks like there's a disappointing situation at hand, but if you trust God, God will turn it around for you. And I highly recommend that book. That book is, I have it in the Just Praise Him bookstore tab. At justpraisehim.today. If you click on the tab that says bookstore in the print books, you can find this book if you want it. Okay, so the book, I read it, and it really inspired me, but I never applied what it taught me, not until recently, and I want to share with you what happened when I did. Most of you who have listened to me for years know I always try to find a scripture to claim when I'm believing for something. For you newer Christians, this is the most powerful way to pray and get answers because God watches over His word to perform it. That means He watches for somebody to believe what He has said, and when they do, when you do, then He will do the thing that you are speaking by speaking His word. So the last few weeks, y'all have seen my post on the Just Praise Him Facebook page, talking about all the problems with the extremely small and cramped yellow house out in the woods that I rented from photos before moving to Arkansas. I was so glad to find anything to rent in an area where there are so few rent houses to begin with. And so I rented it just from photos sent to me by the lady who was renting it out for the people who own it. And, well, anyway, I arrived at the house in late January after the Lord sent me the message that I was in danger in Texas and to flee to the mountains. And He gave me great urgency in my spirit over and over. I mean, it was scary, y'all. I was packing as fast as I could, and that wasn't very fast because I'm old. And that urgency would rise up again and again. And I'm like, I'm trying, Lord, I'm trying. And I realized upon walking inside that house that I had rented the house from Glamour Shots. The rooms in the house were less than half the size they looked like in the photos, and that was just the beginning. In the sunroom, where I'd so looked forward to sitting and praying and having coffee with the Lord every morning while watching the deer out back, someone who lived there previously had put up a room divider down on one end, and they had apparently had pinned their dog back there, apparently for long periods of time. And I say they pinned their dog because they had installed a doggy door in the back door. And the result was that there was an extremely intense and strong stench of dog urine from the poor dog who urinated down the walls, causing the stench to go behind the baseboard and down into the wood under the house in the crawl space. What that means is that that smell will never leave that room. they will have to cut that wood out and replace it. I tried everything. Enzymatic cleaner, hydrogen peroxide, straight vinegar, bleach, straight bleach. Nothing would kill that smell or even lighten it enough to make it bearable. So finally, I had to put up plastic sheeting to keep the smell out of the rest of the house. And mold was growing behind that paneling on that wall from the roof being improperly angled over the sunroom, which causes some of the rain to run down inside the walls instead of being routed through the gutters. And all these problems came to light over the last few months. The mold made me ill for about the first 6 weeks that I lived there until it was discovered and the plastic sheeting was put up. Then I discovered that the refrigerator was dumping swamp water down to the bottom of the refrigerator. I don't know if y'all have ever had an old refrigerator, but usually the dehumidifier part or something like that will go out, and then it will just leak water down the back of the refrigerator. It runs into the bottom of the refrigerator, and it sometimes, and in this case did, runs into your vegetable bins. So one day I pull out my vegetable bins, and all my vegetables are sitting there soaking in swamp water. It was nasty. And so once a week, I had to go clean the swamp water out of the bottom of the refrigerator, and I couldn't use the vegetable bins, which make up, what, a third, a fourth of the inside of your refrigerator. Then, when I called and told them that the refrigerator had this problem, I found out that the local appliance repairman, the only local appliance repairman, had passed away 6 months earlier. There was no one to even call. If you had an appliance problem, you were out of luck. And then my oven went out, and I cook almost everything in the oven because I don't fry anything hardly. So 3 months after I moved into that house, I'm still surrounded by boxes in every single room that I cannot unpack because there's no place to unpack them to. So each room had one little path to get to the furniture. Everything else was piles of boxes all around. It was miserable, y'all. It was so miserable. And I had signed a 12-month lease. I didn't know what to do. And I talked to the Lord about it pretty much every day, and I tried not to complain. I tried so hard not to complain because I know what complaining got the Israelites, and I did not want what they got. So, I'm going through this, and I'm trying to zip the lip and just not say the bad stuff. And we all know how hard it is not to talk about your misery when you're miserable, don't we? So then on May 12th, a snake crawled up on my porch, probably chasing one of the pretty little lizards that I used to see on the porch every day. But that snake, he just sat there staring at my front door, and I thought, what's he going to do, knock to come in? You know, I've never seen a snake do that before. It was weird. It was creepy. And I took a picture of it in its last minute of life before it was hoed to pieces, and it turned out to be a male copperhead. I thought it was just a grass snake. No, it was a copperhead, a pit viper. Pit vipers don't strike when they see you. They strike when they sense body heat, which to me is even more dangerous. They don't even have to dislike you to bite you. You just have to stand near them and put out heat, and that's it. They're going to nail you. So, you know, and I was concerned not only about me, but about my dogs. They're closer to the ground than I am. And, you know, when I moved into that house, I saw the bushes right by the porch, and I thought, I don't like those bushes by the porch because snakes will crawl up on concrete or asphalt at night to get warm if the nights are cool. And snakes like to hide under bushes. Most dogs get bitten sniffing under bushes. So, just a few months before that, I had paid to have a door sweep installed on the glass front door because there was a gap that was over an inch wide. I cannot make this up, y'all. Over an inch wide. They don't have very many good handyman people in this area. I mean, you can count on one hand, and you'll have fingers left. There was over a one-inch gap under it, and I thought, yeah, we got to close that, not just for the heat and electric bill, but I don't want stuff coming in here. If I had not done that, that snake would have most likely slithered into my living room, and this story would have a real different ending. So, several days after the copperhead shows up, I saw a big hawk. I was taking my dogs out for a walk, and I saw a real, just one of these giant birds, you know, and I'm pretty sure it was a hawk. I'm not a bird specialist. And it was in the middle of the road, just about halfway between me and the next street in the direction I was going to go. And I thought, well, you know, that's a big bird. We'll walk, maybe get a closer look as we're going by. So the bird flies off, and I look at what, you know, if it was eating something on the road or what it was doing. There was another snake, not a copperhead. This one turned out just to be a harmless. It's called a ribbon snake, according to one of the neighbors. And I was just going to walk, you know, the dogs by on the other side of the road. No, I get 12 feet from that thing, and it flips its tail up and starts wagging its tail at me. I'm like, that is the creepiest thing ever. We turned and went really fast in the other direction. I didn't even want to walk on that street again after that. I'm like, what is the deal with the snakes here? I don't like them. Anyway, the hawk came back and had it for lunch, so that was good. So after seeing yet another snake, I didn't even want to go out on the road. I didn't want to walk out the front door. I didn't want to walk into my garage because my garage had 2 3-inch gaps under the door, and I'd seen those little lizards run in there. And I had heard that wherever the food goes, the snakes will follow. And I thought, great, so there may be snakes. I could step out in my garage. There could be snakes out there. And there were cabinets that started about knee height on me, right on either side of the door, the garage door, if you stepped out there. I'm like, I don't like this. I wore my cowboy boots for a while, y'all. And I was always concerned about power outages. There were a lot of power outages at the Yellow House. If a thunderstorm came, you had to have your candles and your lanterns ready. So I had power outage stuff everywhere. The thought of the lights going out. When you live in the woods, there are no street lamps out there, okay? Everybody has a yard light, you know, a light in their front yard that looks like those gas lights, only they have bulbs in them. And if the power goes out, those things go out, it is pitch black out there. I mean, scary, creepy, horror movie black, okay? So I was afraid of the power outages for that reason. I'm like, I don't like it out here. The house is creepy. The garage is creepy. It's creepy to go out the front door. Everything was creepy. I was afraid in that house. And I am not, y'all know me, I am not a fearful person. I've never been a fearful person. So for me to be afraid every day and every night is far, far from the norm for me. And I fought that fear. I fought it spiritually. I did battle against it. I fought it again and again, thinking, okay, maybe there's a revelation God's trying to show me. He's trying to teach me something about battling fear. I tried making myself do what I was afraid of. All the things that usually work when you're trying to overcome fear, and nothing would work. So finally, just recently, completely miserable. I mean, just almost hating life. One morning, I just went to the Lord in prayer and poured out my whole heart to Him, which I was talking to Him every day about this, but I went to Him this day and I just poured out my heart and I said, Lord, I need a bigger house. I don't know how You can even bring me a bigger house because I'm under a lease here. I need a house I can feel safe in where I'm not afraid every single day and night like I have been here at this house. I need more space so I can do the work that You've given me to do and get it done. I don't know the answer to this problem, but I know that You can do anything. And I know You can somehow make this happen because You're Jehovah Jireh. You're the providing God. So I'm putting my faith in You to help me. And I need You to show me what Your will is in a way that is between You and me. I came here because this is where You showed me You wanted me to go for safety. And I know where You guide, You always provide. So I'm believing You to provide for me here where You have led me. So then I tried to go on with my morning, hoping, believing, hoping that He had an answer. Because otherwise, I had to stay in that house until the end of January 2018. And I did not know how I could possibly do that. I was already half out of my mind with fear and barely functioning because I was afraid to do anything. In the room that was my office, I could not even walk around my desk. Every room literally had a path through the boxes where you could get to the furniture, and everything else was stacks of boxes. The house was too tiny. There were no cabinets in the kitchen, hardly. I had an extra 4-foot folding table set up in there, and I just stacked canned food and stuff on there because there was no place to put that either. It was horrible, y'all. I'm telling you, it was horrible. So I emailed the lady I rented the house from and said, hey, I really need a bigger house. Can we work something out? And she had come by a month after I moved in and seen all my stuff still in boxes, so it was no shock to her, I'm sure. But she didn't email me back when I sent that, and I was like, okay. I knew I signed a year's lease. I'm like, ugh. And that year stretched out in my mind like a nightmare that would never end. I didn't know how I could do a year. I was barely getting through a day at a time. I'm a pretty strong person, and I was barely getting through the days, y'all. So I continued just, you know, drudging through each day, so sad at the thought of being stuck in that miserable situation for a whole year. But I didn't know what else to do other than just pray. And each week I checked the papers, you know, for houses for rent just in case. But there was nothing in the town that God sent me to. There just wasn't anything. And I did not dare move to another town. In a retirement area like where I live, there's not much need for rental properties because retirees almost always own their own homes. So I knew I was stuck in the misery unless I wanted to disobey God. And there was no way I was going to do that. Not even to escape the misery of living cramped up in a house where so many things didn't work, where I was afraid every day and every night, where each of the small rooms just had a little path through it. I was miserable, but I was in His will, so I would just wait on Him and just beg for mercy. So every day, I prayed again and asked for mercy and told the Lord I was trusting Him either way, but that I would sure be happier and more productive for the kingdom if He could somehow negate my lease and move me to something bigger. And y'all, when the mold was discovered behind the paneling in the sunroom, I sent a sample off and got an official mold report, a 16-page report, and took that to the landlady and said, here's, you know, there's a problem here. And that didn't even, you know, I mean, nothing worked. So, and that's, you know, that's a health hazard. So, anyway, I kept just trying to get through each day. And I knew I was in His will and where I was, but I knew I was under a lease. And I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do because I don't know how I can make it for, you know, month after month here. I'm barely getting through an hour at a time. I had told my landlady I needed a bigger house. She manages a lot of rental properties. She actually manages most of the rental properties here. And the mold problem still was not fixed. The sunroom was not usable. They were unable to get a part to fix the 1970s built-in oven. There was no repairman to call to fix the refrigerator. The rest of the refrigerator worked. I just couldn't use the bottom part where the big drawers were. So, you know, a quarter or a third of it or whatever because of the swamp water. So the result of that was my refrigerator was crammed full everywhere else. You could barely get anything else in it. And when I looked at all the problems, you know, and you, when you have a lot of stuff, you know, boxes piled up everywhere in your house, you can't keep your house clean. You can't even keep it reasonably clean because you can't get to anything to clean it. And I felt bad about that. I'm like, man, this, you know, this is awful. And I thought, she's not going to want to rent another house to me. She probably thinks I'm sloppy, you know. And I would look at the problems. I would get up in the, every morning and I would pray and I would, you know, make good confessions and everything like that. And I would told God, I said, Lord, I know You can do something. I'm believing You to either get me, you know, negate my lease and get me to a bigger place or show me how to be happy here. I said, Lord, I'm willing to stay here if You can show me how to be happy here. I'm just, you know, I want to be in Your will. That's what matters. Let's get the work done. And I would look at the problems and I just wanted to cry every day. I wanted to just sit down and cry because I couldn't fix them. But I'm not a person who very often will just sit down and cry. I mean, it's years in between the times when I do that. I'm more likely to get angry and launch the fight of the century against whatever the problem is. So about 3 days after the last time that I just poured my heart out to God, I got an email from the lady I rented from saying that she had a larger house come open and would I like to look at it. Well, I tried not to run screaming out the door and speed down the road to get there to go look at it, you know, because I was so excited. There was no question. So we set a time. I got the address and drove by it first. It looked okay on the outside, but I didn't get excited because the little yellow house that I was in was real cute on the outside. So I met her at the house. We entered the house, and I was amazed at how much bigger it was. I mean, it was actually bigger than any house I'd ever lived in. And it was not in the dark, scary woods like the first one. It was in a nice, quiet neighborhood. And I talked briefly with her about, you know, could she let me out of my current lease and about the repairs that would need to be made to the larger house because it had a number of problems. It had a tub that all the finish had come off of. It had about 5 windows that were shot out. And I forget now what else. Some other stuff. Oh, the basement flooded. The lower level flooded. So it continued to bother me that I had lived in so much fear for months, 4 months. I'm not a fearful person. And then I got a revelation. Perfect love casts out fear. I'm sorry, y'all. My voice is trying to go. Y'all bear with me. I'm trying to get the rest of this podcast done, and I'm just trying not to talk after that. Perfect love casts out fear. I was up very early Monday morning this week. The Lord urged me to get up at 3:30 and pray, so I did. And a commenter, Ann Renee, posted a comment to the Word that day, the very first commenter of the day, and mentioned how perfect love casts out fear. And I remembered back, her description of it was so good. And I remembered a time when I had been fearless, very early in my walk with Him, and I realized that if my heart had been more full now in this time period of the love of Christ, there would have been no room at all for fear at that old house. I had had that heart full of love, of His love early on in my walk, and nothing could touch me then, not slanderous lies which were spread about me, not fear, nothing. My eyes were continually on Him. He was all I could think about, and I wanted that back. And that inspired me to try to get it back. So after we finished walking through the bigger house, I told the landlady that I liked it, but I needed to go pray about it. And I went back to the yellow house, and I immediately prayed, and immediately God said, take it. I said, okay. So I sent her an email saying, I want the house if there's no problem with you letting me out of my lease, and if they will repair this and this and this, like we talked about. And as soon as I sent that email, my peace came back. And then I remembered that for 20 years that I've been in this walk with the Lord, the sign between me and Him that I am out of His will, that I'm in the wrong place, has always been fear. Always. So that answered one question. When I was working in Lafayette, Louisiana in 2001, and a man tried to follow me into my motel room at dusk, and I barred the door, and I quit the job. I quit the job, y'all, the next day to get out of there. It scared me so bad, because in all my 10 or 12 or 14, however many years it was that I traveled with oil and gas work, that never, ever happened to me, ever. I was never afraid. And when I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, what is going on? You always protect me when I'm out on the road. And He said, it's not my will that you're here on this job. I want you back in Dallas. And I quit the job the next day. I didn't even give notice, which I should have done. But I was so scared that I was out of His will. So that I learned then that if I'm afraid, that means I'm in the wrong place. Okay. So after I sent the email, it was the next day before I heard back, at which time my landlady said the owners did not want to repair the stuff in the larger house. And I thought, oh no, here we go again. Here we go. And she said, just go ahead and move in, and we'll get this stuff fixed as soon as we can. And I'm sitting there thinking, No, I tried that at the yellow house. You know, I'd been there. And I thought about it, and I just responded with an email saying, okay, I will stop packing. Please let me know when the repairs are done. You know, I want the house, but let me know when the repairs are done. All I could think of was that I would just be stuck in another house where nothing was getting fixed. And I was almost in tears, just almost. Because here I'd found a bigger house, and I liked it. I really liked the bigger house. And it was in a peaceful neighborhood, and I thought, that's a house I can get some work done in. And then it's got all these things wrong, and they're not going to fix it either. I just was heartbroken. I was like, you know, it's not going to work. It's going to be, you know, all the rentals around here must be like that, where you just move from house to house and nothing ever gets fixed. And it was horrible. Anyway, so I was once again trapped in the small yellow house. So I went back to the Lord, and I poured my heart out again. I said, Lord, I know you told me to take that house, but I don't want to get stuck in another house where nothing's getting fixed. I said, but I really want that house. There's a big room for my office that will hold everything. And there's so much space there. And it would, you know, it wouldn't feel like this cramped, claustrophobic, you know. And I stopped packing, but I kept praying, and I was praying hard, y'all. And I was declaring to the Lord that I was going to trust Him no matter what, and I would not be disappointed, even though I did not see any hope in the natural at all. I just saw the same story playing out again. But I knew the Lord wanted me to get the bigger house. I just didn't know how it could work out. So the next day was the last day of the month, and I had the rent and the deposit for the new house, or I had to pay rent again at the yellow house. So I waited until late morning to see if the landlady would call me, and she didn't. And then I called her and I said, hey, can I come to your office and pay rent on that house? And she said, I thought you weren't going to rent it because it wasn't repaired. She said, I told them that you weren't going to rent it because the repairs weren't done. And she said, now they're good. So then they said, get the repairs done. And my heart jumped. I wanted to jump up and do the happy dance. So I went and met her and paid the rent. And the first crew of repairmen showed up promptly on the next work day. The repairs are not all completed yet, but they are underway. And I know that as I trust the Lord, I will not be disappointed. I wanted to share this with you guys so you will know how to believe for something that is really, really important that you really need and receive it and not be disappointed by standing on this scripture from the Word of God, that those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed. Let me give you the reference again. It's Psalm 25:3. When you really need something from God like this and you cannot see how it is possibly can work out, there's just no, you're looking at it in the natural, Lord, I can't see any way this can possibly work out. I need your help, but I know you're God and you can do anything. There's nothing that you can't do. The Word says, nothing shall be impossible for God. The Lord got me out of that lease at that house. And, you know, the whole time that I was at that house, I did all the things I normally did. I tried to keep the grounds up. I actually paid someone to come and clear the brush out. And it actually looked a lot better when I left than when I moved in. And I always try to do that wherever I rent. And I tried to, you know, fix things inside the house that could be fixed, like the door sweep and some other stuff that I had fixed. Because I always try to do the right thing wherever I'm at. You know, and you should always try to do the right thing because God cannot bless you if you don't do the right thing. I didn't go off on the people who were renting it to me because they couldn't get the repairs done. When somebody is the middleman in a rental property, they can only do what the owner will authorize them to do, and they can only have repaired what the owners will pay for. If the owners won't pay for it, I mean, what are they supposed to do? Pay for it out of their own pocket? You know, they can't do that. So going off on them won't do any good, and it's not the Christian thing to do. So I kept my calm, although in prayer I wasn't always real calm. I wasn't angry, but I was just passionate about what I was praying about because I wanted out of that house, y'all. It was bad. It was miserable. I was so relieved to get out of there and got everything moved. And you know how when you move, I don't know if y'all have moved very many times, it's exhausting. And I just moved here from Texas 4 months ago, and to turn around and move again was very overwhelming. But I got it done. I hired people to help, and I got it done, and then I went back over there and took a friend with me, and we cleaned that place up. I mean, really, really good. Left it really clean. Left it as nice as I could possibly leave it for them. And I'm starting to unpack in the new house, and I fell very ill this morning. I got up very ill, and it's the stress from all the moving and doing all the stuff, you know. Your body can hold up to stress and overwork for a short amount of time, but if you keep pushing it like I did, it will eventually catch up with you. And I knew it would. I just was hoping I had a couple more days before it did. So that's why I sound like I sound. But I'm going to go lie down after I finish making this podcast for y'all. And hopefully next week I'll be able to make you a video. We'll see. My goal, because this office is bigger, I can keep a camera set up, a camcorder, and I can make more videos. So that was part of the reason I wanted this office too, is I can make more videos for you. Anyway, I hope that this inspires you to you. Don't listen to this message and then walk away like I did after I read that book by Peggy Joyce Ruth. Those who trust in the Lord shall not be disappointed. Y'all get a copy of that book. That's good. She tells so many stories in her family how they stood on this scripture. She goes around talking about this. She goes and gives talks. Like to women's groups and churches and stuff about this. She has so many testimonies on this scripture. Big, big stuff that where God didn't let them be disappointed and turned everything to their advantage. Turned everything around to their advantage, to her family's advantage when she stood on this scripture. But I hope this encourages you to use this scripture and you pray the word of God. That's where the power is in your prayers. If you say what God says, he's going to back up what he says, okay? All glory and honor to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, the great I Am, who is so worthy to be praised. I hope you all have a wonderful week. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. I don't have any prophetic words this week between the exhaustion from moving and trying to unpack, and then, you know, the stress and everything causing me to fall ill. I just don't have any. So anyway, I'm behind on entering donations, but I'm going to try to get caught up as soon as I'm well enough to catch up on that. That's my next project. So y'all bear with me, okay? I'm trying real hard to get caught up. And I'll get y'all's thank you letters out to you. And there'll probably be prophetic words in at least some of those, if not all of them. Okay? Y'all have a great week. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read the Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts in constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com, in print and Kindle. Loosed from Chains of Darkness, and be free. What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book, No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today.